Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Stunt Treks. I'm your host, Uncle Jim, and with me, as usual, is the one and only, the Leslie Hoffman. How you doing tonight, Leslie?
Oh, I'm doing fine. We're finally having some hot weather up here.
I actually have the air conditioning on right now. Can you believe that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, actually, I turned off the air conditioner because I wasn't sure if I was going to have a bunch of background noise. But, boy, after the show, I'm going to turn it back on again.
You know, we go from snow to air conditioning. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then in less than 24 hours, you might turn off the air conditioner and put on the heat.
I know. It's life in the Northeast, huh?
Right.
So, welcome to the show, guys. Leslie was in a episode of Star Trek Voyager in season 6. It was the 14th episode of season 6. It was an episode called Memorial, and we're going to dive right in and talk about that episode tonight. Leslie actually died twice in that episode, and we're going to talk about that. So, don't go anywhere. Don't touch a dial. Stay right where you are because Leslie got to die twice in the same Star Trek episode. But before we do that, I wanted to mention that tomorrow night, same bat time, same bat channel, you can join GM Chris and myself, yours truly, Uncle Jim, right here as we do the War Room, a Star Wars Legion battle report. We're going to be talking about the brand new upgrade card packs and the painting kits that have been announced from FFG, and as well as maybe a few surprises. So you want to tune in for that if you're looking for a new tabletop game to get into, or if you already play Legion, you want to join us tomorrow night, 7:30 to 9:30. We're going to be chatting about Star Wars Legion. It's a lot of fun. I'd love to have you guys with us. And the biggest news, the news that I'm really psyched about, that I've really been pushing really hard on Facebook, is Thursday night on Trek Talking, we are going to be celebrating the 30th anniversary of Star Trek V, The Final Frontier. Yes, you heard me right. 30-year anniversary of Star Trek V. And we are going to have with us none other than Vixis from Star Trek V, Spice Williams Crosby. Thank you to Leslie for making that possible for us. And we're going to be talking about Star Trek V for an hour. We're going to have her on first thing. So if you want to get in, 7:30 to 8:30, she's very busy. She's got to go. So we're only going to have her for an hour. And you want to make sure you call 646-668-2433 and have your questions ready, preferably in English. But if you want to ask them in Klingon, we'll allow that as well. And, of course, the number here, if you have a question for Leslie, in regards to Star Trek Voyager, Memorial, or Deep Space Nine, or the plethora of shows and movies that Leslie has appeared in, the phone number here is the same as it's always been, the same as it is for all of our shows, 646 888-668-2433. And I also have the chat room open if you'd like to log on and ask a question in chat. I will relay that to Leslie as well. So the number here is 646-668-2433. You guys should have that on your speed dial, by the way, because with our monthly show Comic Corner, where we go over Star Trek comic books, with the new show that GM Chris and I do called The War Room, Star Wars Legion, with this show, Stunt Trek, and also with Trek Talking, it's the same great number for all these great shows. 646-668-2433 is that number, and Leslie and I will be live with you for the next hour from 7 to 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We are live. So if you want to give us a call at 646-668-2433, please do so, and we'd love to get you on the air. Also, I'm not done with messages here. We're almost there. Don't panic. I also wanted to mention to everybody that we do have a Patreon account. We can use your help. There's a lot of ways you can help, but if you want to head over to patreon.com/trektalking, we have several tiers there. You can actually become a patron of Comic Corner or Stunt Trek or Trek Talking. We have lots of great things to offer you guys, including autographed pictures. You can even come on and be a co-host once a month. You can pick a topic, pick a show, because like I said, we have several different shows. And you can come right on and chat with us live as a co-host. So you want to bear that in mind if that's something you're interested in. And we'd love to have your help and your support. We need your help and we need your support to keep the phone line open. 646-668-2433, because this is more than a podcast. This is Blog Talk Radio, which gives you, the fans, the opportunity to interact with us, you know, and share your opinions and tell us what you think. If you disagree with us, call and tell us. If you agree with us, call and tell us. So Blog Talk Radio is completely interactive. So all you got to do is call 646-668-2433. And get right on the air, talk with us live. And to do that, we need to have a phone line. And to do that, we need to pay for it. So that's why we need you for patrons. But if you're not comfortable doing that, because there's so many people out there asking you to send money here, send money there, and I get it. The other way that you can help us out tremendously is Blog Talk Radio works just like YouTube. The more clicks, the more pennies we get. And how do we get pennies? We get pennies every time somebody clicks on our link. Now, the links are on our Facebook page. They're on the Leslie Hoffman Appreciation Organization page. When someone clicks on that link directly, we get a credit. When we collect so many credits, we get a penny. And those pennies add up. So you can help us by always clicking on our Trek Talking link, which you can find on Trek Talking and Beyond, or the Leslie Hoffman Appreciation Organization page. You can also help us by sharing that link on your page or other pages where people might be of interest. We have well over 300 shows that we've produced. And when you go to Blog Talk Radio, you have access to all of those great shows. And every time you click on one of those links from one of those shows at Blog Talk, we get a penny. So please, you can help us out that way as well. Okay, so that's enough of that. We're going to jump right in, but I just, one more time, I got to remind you guys, please call in, please tune in on Thursday night. We're going to have Spice Williams, Star Trek V. We're also going to have J.K. Woodard from IDW Comic Books. And for our second half, we're going to be talking about faking Star Trek. We have a couple of guys from Star Trek Phase 2, and they're going to be on for the second half chatting with us. So it's going to be a great show Thursday night. You want to tune in, and you want a part of the live broadcast. So just remember the number, 646-668-2433. So, Leslie, that's all the news that I had to throw out at everybody. So now we can dive right in and chat a little bit about Star Trek Voyager Memorial. Now, in this episode, you get to die twice, and which is interesting. I noticed the one time you got shot, but I didn't notice the... I saw one of the times you died, but I didn't notice the other time. But let's just give a little recap of the episode. This particular episode, Voyager is flying through some quadrant, and there's a monolith on the planet. The monolith is sending out neuroreceptors that tap into your brain and make you remember the memories of massacre on this planet. And it seems real and traumatic to the people that remember it. And the Delta Flyer is out collecting dilithium ore or dilithium crystals or something of that nature. And they run into it first. And then Voyager goes to investigate, and the captain gets infected, and it spreads through the crew. And that's the premise of this particular story. And Leslie gets to play one of the colonists called Nakans, and she dies twice. But before we dive into that, I thought we'd do something a little different. Anyone who's listened to the show knows that when I moved here to Vermont from New York, I didn't get the UPN network, so I missed a lot of Voyager. This must have been one of the episodes I did not see, because when Leslie says she was in it, I went and looked it up. I said, I don't think I've ever seen that one. So me and Jamie had to sit down and watch that episode yesterday because I had never seen it. So I figured there might be other people out there that missed it, or maybe you just need a refresher. So I thought maybe it'd be fun to play the UPN trailer for that episode to jog everybody's memory. So here it is, the UPN trailer for Star Trek Voyager Season 6, Episode 14, Memorial.
They were warned not to interfere with other alien cultures.
Hated.
But desperate times.
Everybody down!
I can see the body.
Call for desperate measures.
We murdered these people!
On an all-new Voyager.
Now, I know you can't see it in that trailer, but that scream that you heard was Leslie getting shot in the back and dying. She's right in the trailer. she's the one that gets shot in the back and falls down screaming. Now, Leslie, was that actually you screaming, or was that a dubbed over voice?
That was me screaming. But that is interesting that you brought that up, is that there has been times on Remington Steele when I call him Doctor Who. Tom Baker shot me and I fell off the pier. They used me falling off the pier, but they actually hired, they didn't even have Doris Roberts do it. They hired somebody to do the scream.
So here I'm falling.
And another person is doing the scream for Doris Roberts.
That is so strange. Hollywood does that.
Oh, yeah. No, I think I also said in Hounds of Hell, it was really funny because the maid had a much deeper voice than mine. But when they set my arm on fire, they used my screaming. So, you know, you have this woman talking like this, but when her arm catches on fire, she's going, "Yeah!" But no, that was me screaming.
Now, I noticed the trailer for this episode also is a little bit misleading. I don't know if they did that on purpose or what was, but the narrator says they were warned not to interfere. That's absolutely not true. There was no warning at all in this episode. There was nothing like that. And then, of course, you have Janeway saying we murdered these people, and that's not exactly true either. So this entire trailer is just a giant misdirection. And nothing in that trailer.
Yeah, I mean, basically, if I understand it correctly, it was like the soldiers were trying to move the colonists, who knows, from one place to the other, whether somebody ran or whatever happened. The soldiers went crazy and they started shooting the colonists.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's always been my take on it.
There's a head soldier whose name I don't recall, who's leading the evacuation. And there's some people hiding out in a cave that won't leave. And he goes in there and they won't leave and he kills them. And then he decides, yeah, I'm going to liquidate all the bodies. So he vaporizes all the bodies so there's no evidence. And some of his troops object to that behavior, of course, and it leads to a giant massacre on the planet. People start panicking, and the troops open fire, and they kill everybody. And this is where Voyager comes in. And actually, you can answer this question for me. The monolith looked an awful lot like the monolith in the This Side of Paradise episode where Captain Kirk goes back and becomes an American Indian. Did they just repurpose that?
I agree. I have no idea, but I agree that it looks awful familiar to me. But they wouldn't be hanging on to a piece of prop for, let's see, 60 to, you know, for 30 years. They wouldn't have that prop hanging around. So, I mean, it just happens to look like it.
It did. When I saw it, that was the first thing I thought of was This Side of Paradise. And it looked exact. It even had that weird writing on the side of it, too. And that's what I thought. But I was saving that question for you. I thought that was going to be a hot topic question. Oh, yeah, they pulled it out of the warehouse or whatever. But, yeah, so anyways, the crew is infected with these memories that are real, and they actually are suffering post-traumatic stress syndrome from these memories. They're so intense. And Chakotay and the rest of the crew want to destroy the monolith so that no one else gets affected by it. But then Janeway decides that that would be a dishonor to the people that suffered and were murdered here. So she orders the crew to fix it, and they repair it. And then they leave a warning buoy in space around the planet, warning ships flying by, you know, what awaits them if they get too close. And then they fly away. There was an interesting thing in this episode where B'Elanna Torres gives Tom Paris a TV. And on the TV, she's downloaded all these historical documents of, like, you know, Gunsmoke and you know, Little House on the Prairie and different things, complete with commercials. And
yeah,
he's watching the commercials for vacuum cleaners and things. And it struck me as funny. What struck me as funny about it, Leslie, was these things, looking at it in context, the TV shows and the commercials that they were showing on Voyager were like from the 50s. They were old by today's standards. But by the time Voyager gets here, I would have thought that they would have had at least colored TV shows and commercials from today and not, you know, from the 50s. I thought that was a little strange.
Well, I can't name the episode or episodes, but Tom Paris was always into, I don't know if it was like a Flash Gordon or something, but I believe that there was a episode that partially was in black and white with Harry Kim and Tom Paris flying a, you know, like you say, a sort of Flash Gordon spaceship around. So he was really into this 1950s kind of stuff.
Captain Proton, I believe it was, and the Kiss of the Arachnid. I think it was a black and white episode, I believe.
Yeah.
But you're right. He was into a lot of that.
Yeah, so it wasn't necessarily, well, why didn't they choose something from the 1980s or 1990s? It was his part of history that he liked reminiscing over.
Yeah, this was an interesting episode. It reminded me of the one where Captain Picard has the memories of the guy playing the flute. Was it Inner Light, I think? Maybe. I can't believe I remember this stuff. I'm old and senile. I can't remember what I had for breakfast, but I can remember the names and plot synopsis of Star Trek episodes from 40 years ago. God, I'm that. What a disease. Anyways, so let's talk a little bit about Memorial. So you got to die twice. Once in the trailer, you get shot in the back, and we actually hear you scream. And if you guys watch the trailer, it's on our Facebook page, Trek Talking and Beyond. Did you post that on the Leslie Hoffman Appreciation Organization page?
Yeah, I put it on 10 Ford, and I put it on the Leslie Hoffman Appreciation page. And I found, it's blurry, but I found a picture that is sort of a headshot of me.
And we get
and
to see you
I
die.
I have that up there, too.
Leslie actually dies. We actually get to watch Leslie die. She's right there in front of the camera. She gets shot in the back, and she screams, and she falls down. But you actually died again. Tell us a little bit about the second time, or, I don't know, the first time. I don't know. You died twice. Tell us a little bit about both times that
right.
you died.
Well, it's really funny that you brought that up, because I never even – do you know that never even really sunk in that I died twice until you've said it?
See, that's what I'm here for, pick out all these weird little details.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like when the guys would be Jemadars or Klingons or whatever. I mean, you know, Dennis couldn't have 50 different stuntmen up on the set. So, you know, maybe he had 3 to 5 guys dressed up as Klingons or Jemadars or whatever. So I guess in this case, you know, he had maybe five people being the Nakons. And like you say, until you pointed it out, I forgot that technically I died twice. But, well, anyway, so the first time, or the big one with the shot in the back, there was a Star Trek magazine on the set, and they wanted to take pictures and all this. There was the special effects man, Freddie Brookfield, and, you know, they're just... they're there to do their job, except that Freddie's there to do his job. And you got to be really careful when you hook up the electric to, well, this is called a squib. And while he was hooking me up the first time, and the magazine is, you know, just butting in, taking pictures, he accidentally touched the wrong wires and the thing exploded on my back. I mean, it didn't hurt me, but I'm not sure if it burned his hand. So that was kind of exciting. He was pretty mad.
Yeah, when you get shot in the back, it's a pretty big explosion. Well, it looks like on screen, a pretty big explosion on your back.
Oh, yeah, that's an absolute phaser hit, as opposed to, I'll call it, when you get shot by a bullet or something like that. I mean, this is a big explosion. Anyway, so he rewired me, and the director said, okay, now where do you think you're gonna, I love when directors say this, where do you think you're going to end up when you fall? And it's like, I don't know. I mean, I can estimate where, you know, I'm running, I'm falling, I'm sliding. I don't know where I'm going to necessarily stop in the slide. So I said, well, I think about here. But boy, the first time I did it, I I slid past camera. So we had to film it a second time. And I didn't, you know, run or propel myself as much as I did the first time, and we got the shot the second time. But I'll tell you, you know, you say you're asking about me screaming. Well, boy, you know, when you have an explosion come off in your back, it's like when actors say, what's my motivation? When you hear
you're
that
on
explosion,
fire, that's your motive.
Right. When you hear that explosion hit, you know, go off in your back. There was a piece of leather. There was no way the fire was going to hit me. But just hearing that explosion, believe me, it motivates your scream.
Now, Leslie, when they wire you up to die like that, well, when they wire you up to get shot in the back and die, what do they have? Is it a remote controlled thing, or are there wires running off your back and somebody sets it off when you're about to die?
Well, Freddie Brookfield would have had like a button or something that would have triggered it.
So, like, they tell you run across the field there, and Chakotay's
like
going to shoot you, and then when Chakotay shoots you, they push the button, and you scream and fall down and die?
Right, right. I mean, it isn't like, okay, this is on a 10-second timer, so start running. No, it's triggered by a button.
Wow.
So,
and in this particular episode, you're a Nakan. You're an alien, so you're wearing makeup as well.
Right. And actually these aliens weren't that, what should I call it? It wasn't like a very, very unusual makeup. It was more like their foreheads were, you know, a little bigger than the rest of their face. So it really was minimal makeup, you know, compared to, let's say, a Cardassian. I mean, a Cardassian, you could be in a chair for hours. This was just putting a headpiece on your forehead. So it was pretty quick makeup. But
and how long did it take them to wire you up to explode when they shot you? Is that a lengthy procedure?
That's a good question. Again, you just have to be so careful. I can't really put a time on it. It's just that it is gunpowder. I mean, it is an explosive. This isn't fake fire or anything. And that's what I'm saying, is that this magazine company that, you know, wanted to take pictures and all that kind of stuff, it just kind of, it got Freddie's mind off of what he was doing, or, you know, I guess he was feeling pressured, and like I say, he accidentally touched the wrong wire to to the other.
So these aren't like stunt eggs. Is that what you're saying? These are for real? So, anyways, so this particular episode, Leslie gets to die twice. She actually falls down, gets shot in the back, and then goes back and has to refilm it and actually dies twice. This episode reminded me of Inner Light episode. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Leslie. This episode looked to me like it was filmed actually outside and not on planet Hell. So when we come back, we're going to talk to Leslie and see what it was like filming outside, and if indeed it really was outside like it looked like it was in the episode. Don't touch your dial. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this quick station identification break.
To boldly go where no man has gone before.
Hey guys, this is Uncle Jim from Trek Talk, and here to invite you to join us for the best sci-fi themed podcast on the internet. Our elite team of Trek-sperts are here to discuss Star Trek and other related sci-fi content, and we want to hear from you. Just call 646-668-2433 on Thursday night from 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we'll get you on the air. And don't forget to check us out on Facebook. Kapla! And we're back. So, Leslie, it looked to me like that episode was, there was a lot of outside filming, especially with the monolith, and most of the sets are from Planet Hell. So what was it like actually working outside versus on a set for this particular episode?
Well, see, that's the unique thing about Star Trek, is we had a sound stage called the Planet Stage. That was indoors. That wasn't on location. That was on a sound stage on Paramount.
You mean the when they had the monolith, that was actually a set? That was actually Planet Hell?
Well, I wasn't part of the monolith scene, so that probably was filmed outside. But where all the colonists and the soldiers are, that was on the planet stage.
Where you got to die twice.
Right. Which, like I say, until you brought that up, I didn't even think that I died twice, but you're absolutely right. Is that so? The second time that I was supposed to die, there was a new young stuntman that Dennis was breaking in. I mean, he was the son of a stuntman that helped Dennis when Dennis was starting out. And Dennis tells this young guy, okay, I want you to fall near Leslie. And I fall down, and when I fall down, it's like my leg went up, and this kid, he didn't mean to do it, but you know, like I say, you never know when you got to call it an accident. You never know when an accident is going to happen, and when I fell, he decided he was going to fall on top of me, and he bent my leg all the way to my butt, and boy, he really hurt my knee. I mean, that's smart.
Wow. Jeez. The perils of working on Star Trek.
Yeah, I mean, it's very interesting. Is that I feel like a lot of times the really dangerous stunts, they're so careful to make sure, you know, that there's safeties and things like that, that actually I think the really dangerous stunts are less likely to go wrong, but it's the little pratfalls. It's the, you know, it's the, I'm not going to get hurt doing this. And then, like I say, someone falls on top of you. I mean, you're not expecting that, so. Like I say, the simplest thing is when you are going to get hurt.
Well, yeah, because those are probably the times when you're not least expecting it, something to happen.
Right. I mean, okay, you know, on action, I'm running and I fall. And there's no way in the world that I'm going to realize that this guy is going to fall on top of me and bend my leg back. I mean, in fact, well, I guess this is exactly the point of it, is the fire coming out of my back and me getting shot and sliding. I'll say there was a little more danger to that one, and that one went off without, well, other than the first time that he was wiring me up and it went off, but. You know, nothing went really wrong with that one, yet the simple fall down and play dead, you know, that's where my knee got hurt.
Yep, that's hey, we have a caller, Leslie. Somebody wants to ask you a question. Let's see who we got
boy.
On the line. Yeah, it's exciting. Hey, good evening. Thank you for calling Stunt Trek. What's your name and where are you calling us from tonight?
Hey, guys. It's David again. Just calling to say hi.
Hey, David. What's going on, buddy?
I'm doing good. Just off work today and thought I'd give a call to you guys.
Hey, you know, Leslie died twice in this episode.
She died more than Spock did in the Wrath of Khan, I think, probably.
Yeah, she's got the record for the most deaths in a Star Trek episode, I think. We'll have to look into that. Not once, but twice.
Nah, I would say Tom or Dennis probably have the most kills.
The most kills.
Oh, well, in fact, I can't think of the name of the episode, but in Deep Space Nine, it was like the first time that they went into the wormhole or something, and they ended up on some kind of planet where there was like these two factions, and they were fighting each other, except they wouldn't die. You know, they're fighting and they're killing each other, but then they get better. So.
Oh, yeah. I remember that one.
Yeah, so like I say, those guys were dying and getting better and dying and getting better, dying and getting
So, Leslie, while you were filming your multiple death scenes in this episode, were you actually on set with any of the main characters or any of the main actors? Did anything happen that was funny or any stories with any of the main actors?
Oh, yeah. Well, again, on most movie sets, television sets, famous line is hurry up and wait. In other words, they want you there at 5 o'clock in the morning to get into makeup and this and that, and then you sit there for hours until they need you for a scene. And I was outside of the stage, and here comes Robert Beltran, I can't say his name.
Chakotay.
You say Chakotay. Yep. There we go. He comes bicycling by, and he has a girl in the basket of his bicycle.
Just hanging out.
I mean, like you say, there were things that you would see on the set that you just had to do a double take. Like, like I say, on Deep Space Nine, one time, Michael Dorn, Worf, came into the soundstage, and he was dressed as Worf, but he was wearing a really loud Hawaiian shirt. You know, going, I don't think this is something Worf would normally wear. Or somewhere in my photos, when we were on location, and... boy, like you say, I would need to do all my homework on all this stuff. Is that it was the one with the temple and Wayoon and the Jemadars and all that. But I actually have a picture of Michael Dorn reading Cosmopolitan. And you can see it in the picture. You can see the name of the magazine. So here's Worf reading Cosmopolitan.
That's funny. I never had him pegged for a Cosmo guy, you know? What about you, David? Did you have Worf pegged for a Cosmopolitan reader?
You know, no. He had some good fashion going on. You know, the hair, the... You know, that band, his family band. So maybe he had some styling going on. We just didn't really know about it.
That's true. He might have been looking at the fashion columns to find out, you know, the best way to wear his hair and stuff.
Right.
Wow. So how long did it take to actually work? How long were you actually working on this episode? How long did it take?
It was an all-day shoot, and believe me, all day could be 16 hours by the time you're in makeup, out of makeup, on the set doing the scenes that they want to film that day. You know, it could be 12 to 16 hours. In fact, well, I don't think it was Star Trek. I think it was a different television show. We've had people fall asleep driving home and have died because, like I say, they fell asleep at the wheel. And I can't remember the guy's name, but supposedly we have, well, I almost want to say Brian's Law or something like that about, you know, you can't go over X amount of hours in a day. But I don't know if anyone's following it or not.
Now, when you say that, Leslie, does that include from the time you show up and sit in the makeup chair to get your makeup put on to the time you sit down in the makeup chair to get your makeup taken off, or is it just strictly the time you spend filming on the set?
Well, for stunt people and actors, it's showing up on the set, being in makeup, wardrobe, filming scenes, getting out of wardrobe, getting makeup removed. But you got to realize that the crew, you know, the crew is actually there longer because they're there getting the set ready for the actors to film on it. So, I mean, they have a longer shift than the actors do.
That's right. I forgot. They got to set up all the rigging, the lighting. They got to get the set ready to go. And then they got to tear it all down after you guys are done.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, like I say, you think about an actor being there for 16 hours, and yet the crew might be there for 18 hours, 20 hours.
Wow. That's a lot of overtime.
Yeah.
Hey, Dave,
did
you have a question for Leslie, Dave? Did you want to ask anything in particular? Question for Leslie?
I
while...
call just to hang out with you guys.
Oh!
And I remember that episode was pretty cool.
Well, you're always welcome to call and hang out with us, Dave. We don't mind it at all, right, Leslie?
Nah, like I say, it makes the conversation more exciting when people are calling up, and because they may have a different angle or question than you know what I want to talk about or what I think the fans want to hear, and to have a fan ask a question is just so much better.
And that's what we have David for, right, Dave?
Hey, someone has to do it.
We're putting you on the spot. The pressure is on.
Well, one thing comes to mind. During that episode, did any of the actors actually do any of their stunts?
Well, I believe most of the Voyager actors were the soldiers. So they really weren't getting killed. They were firing the weapons, but they weren't falling to the ground or anything.
You know, that's a good question, Leslie. I don't think that's ever come up on the show. That's a good question, David. How, when you get a script, how do they determine what stunt is going to be done by you and what stunt is going to be done by Valana or Roxanne, I mean? How do they make that determination, what's too dangerous for the actor to do and what requires a trained professional to do?
Well, that's where we come back to the production meeting, where we've already read the script, and Dennis will determine that, you know, I feel like we need a stunt double for this person on this, you know, in this scene and whatever, and hopefully they're going to say yes. I mean, the sad part is they could say no, but most of the time they'll say yes. I mean, the worst that could happen is there might be a stunt person on the set that maybe they'll have them do the stunt, maybe they won't have them do the stunt, but at least they're standing by, you know, just in case.
Oh, does a scene ever come up, like when you were doubling for Valana Torres? Did a scene ever come up where Roxanne Biggs Dawson just said, I don't feel comfortable doing that. I don't want to dangle from a rope. Let me do it. Or do the actors not have any say in what's going to be done and what's going to be done by a stunt double?
I don't know. I feel like Roxanne was pretty good about having a stunt double. I mean, she never said, I want to do my own stunt. I mean, what comes to mind was on Remington Steele. I was hired to stunt double this actress guest star in an episode, and And she was supposed to be running around this gym floor. And the gym floor is slippery. But she convinced the director that she wanted to run around herself and, you know, whatever. And so here I'm dressed like her, ready to do the running for her. But she convinced the director that she wanted to do it. Well, she slipped and fell and bashed her knee into the wooden gym floor, and her knee just swelled right up. So, that, you know, like I say, it isn't an actor or actress who feels like, oh, well, I got to do my own stunts. I mean, we're stunt people are trained professionals. We're here to make you look good. We're not here to take your thunder away.
So why, if an actor is making $1 million an episode or whatever ungodly amount they're making, why would an actor want to run around on a floor and risk getting hurt when they can make the same money to sit in a chair and watch you run around and get hurt for them? I don't understand that.
Again, like you say, it's ego. It's like, why would Tom Cruise want to jump from one building to the next and break his ankle? I mean, why would you do that? He shut down production for 6 weeks.
I don't, David, why do you think that is, David?
I wouldn't want to jump that far because I know that would hurt.
I'm with you. I'm with you on that one. Not me.
About it makes me go ouch.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I don't.
Mean, yeah, it's like I worked on a pilot called Maserati in the Brain, and now this was the stunt woman. It wasn't the actress. The stunt woman was supposed to jump, I don't know, 10 to 12 feet down to a pad. Now, I considered that the pad was put together wrong. They should have had a tarp or something over it. But the stunt woman jumped down, and her foot went in between. You know, it's like maybe they had four pads just pushed together. And when she hit the pad, her leg went in between the pads, and she broke her ankle.
Ouch.
Yeah. And I happened to be on the set, you know, I was trying to get a job, you know, hello, Mr. Stunt Coordinator, here's my picture, I'm available, and I'm watching her do the stunt, and like you say, she ends up breaking her ankle, they take her off the set, and basically they said, Leslie, if you can fit the costume, we'll have you do the stunt, because they still had to do a transfer from the top of the building to a helicopter. So the girl did the jump, but then, like you say, she was injured. She couldn't continue on. So the girl getting into the helicopter was me.
So what you're saying,
that's the whole point, is you're stunt doubling the actress. So you could have multiple stunt people doubling the actress, as opposed to, let's say, if the actress did the jump and broke her ankle, it would stop production.
So what you're saying is not only did you die twice in the same Star Trek episode, but you also stunt doubled a stunt double on a stunt in an episode.
Yeah, that's exactly correct. I ended up doubling a stunt double.
See, you're multifaceted. You're like a jack of all trades.
Well, like I said, again, it's so interesting to talk to you because, you know, I just remember these things, but I just don't have, what should I call it, the angle or the view on it that, you know, Leslie, wait a minute, you stunt doubled a stunt double. I mean, unless you said that, I wouldn't even believe, you know, like I say, I wouldn't have even thought about it.
Well, that's what we're here for, right, David?
Yep, very true.
I think that deserves the Golden Stunt Egg Award. Dun, dun, dun. We'll have to get some stunt eggs and paint them gold and give you the Golden
right.
Stunt Egg Award.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that we just missed Easter. We could have probably gotten a whole bunch of eggs and...
Well, come on, you pay for you guys.
There's always next year.
Yeah, right.
So, anyways, was there anything else that you remember about working on Star Trek Voyager episode Memorial that you wanted to share with the listeners?
Well, actually, I didn't put it in the notes, but I think I talked about it last week. Is this was an episode that was, I can't think of the right word to say. A person who wrote this episode shared it with the producers. They didn't want it, and all of a sudden her episode was made. And she, I mean, she tried to say, wait a minute, you know, come on. I had the monolith. I had the people remembering things. You know, this is exactly what my episode was about that you said you didn't want. And then you do it. Then you write your own episode, which is exactly what I told you the episode was. And, you know, again, the problem is that who has lawyers? It's like she doesn't have money to get a lawyer to go after Paramount.
You know, speaking of episodes, before we run out of time, I'm going to try to squeeze in this quick story. Back when Best of Both Worlds Part 1 came out, everybody was wondering what was going to happen in Part 2. And one of the big things that we as fans were kicking around was the nanites. What about the nanites? They could get in and deal with the Borg and so on and so forth. So one of the members of my Star Trek club at the time, who had written episodes for MASH and other 70s shows, sat down and wrote the episode that we were all talking about at one of our Star Trek meetings and sent it into Paramount. And Paramount rejected it. But they called her on the phone and they said, hey, look, you know, we want you to come out and work for us as an intern because we really, really liked your idea for a Star Trek script, but we already had one for Part 2. But we want you to come out here.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah. So she got to go out there and actually work on, I think she was out there for 6 weeks, if I remember, working on Star Trek. And Karen, my wife and I actually flew out there and got to go on Paramount. And we actually got to see Geordi, Data, and Riker, which was so cool because they were in their full character. And Data was gold. He wasn't white like he looks on TV. He's actually gold. And we loved it.
Uh-huh.
We had a great time. And they actually didn't buy her episode, but they did hire her on as a staff writer. So even though they didn't buy the episode, they must have liked something about it. But
yeah.
Anyways.
Well, I'm glad they did that much. Like I say, my friend, I happen to know this person. That's how come I know that she wrote Memorial. They didn't even do that much for her.
Yeah, it's strange how they can get away with that. But you're right. They have the money. They have the lawyers. And, yeah, they can pretty much do what they want. Well, hey, we're down to 5 minutes. Can you believe it, Leslie?
No, I
wow.
can't. Again, these hours just go flying by.
It's got to be David. It's got to be because David called. That's all I can think of. So, David, make sure you tune in on Thursday night because we're going to have Spice Williams Crosby Vixis from Star Trek V with us. And we're going to be celebrating the 30th anniversary of Star Trek V. And we're also going to have J.K. Woodard on. He's an artist for IDW Comic Books. And Star Trek V is one of his favorite Star Trek movies. So they're both going to be on talking about Star Trek V on Thursday night. So everybody, make sure you leave Thursday night empty and make sure you call 646-668-2433 and have your questions ready for Spice Williams Crosby, Vixis. And also, I have the chat room open. So it hasn't been working, but now it is. So you guys can join us in the chat room as well. And you can type questions and talk to each other in the chat room. And if you don't want to have your voice on the radio, if you're afraid, if you don't think you have a voice for radio or you're too embarrassed because you think your question is dumb, just remember, I asked Leslie about stunt eggs. So there's no such thing as a dumb question, okay? Just the question you don't ask. But you can ask it in the chat room. And then I will ask Leslie or Spice or JK your questions so no one will know it came from you. Okay? You're safe.
Where's the chat room at?
See, you had to ask that, David. The chat room is where? It's in chat. You know what? I think you have to go to Blog Talk Radio. You have to go to our page on Blog Talk Radio. And I think you can log into the chat room from Blog Talk Radio, I think.
Okay.
I've never actually done it, so I don't know. I've only done it from my side. I've never actually visited our chat room before. But it hasn't been working. Firefox updated, and there was a problem with the code, and the chat room wouldn't work. And I was just sitting here before the show, and I said, you know what? We haven't used our chat room in over a year. I wonder if they fixed it. And I clicked on it, and the chat room opened. So it's currently open and running, and I'm going to open it for every show. And I think you log on to that through Blog Talk Radio. I think if you go to Blog Talk Radio and you go to Trek Talk and there, I think you can find the chat room and log on to it through there. I'll have to ask Ken. Ken used to run our chat rooms way back ago. I'll have to ask Ken how you get into the chat room, and I'll see if I can post a link or something so you guys can actually hang out in the chat and talk with us. But at any rate, make sure you guys leave your calendars open for Thursday. Are you going to be around Thursday, David?
I will catch the later part because I have to go to work. I just took a vacation day today.
Oh, well, that's cool. Spent your vacation with me and Leslie.
Well, not exactly, but that's how it worked out, so I lucked out.
Well, guys, I just wanted to say that we just broke 16,000 listeners, so thank you very much. We couldn't have done it without all your support, and that's for all of our shows, for Comic Corner, Stunt Trek, Trek Talk, and then our new War Room, so thank you very much. And I want to say thank you to David for being one of our most loyal fans and for calling and hanging out with me and Leslie tonight. Thanks a lot, David.
No problem.
And I also have to send out a tremendous thank you to the Leslie Hoffman, because without her, we wouldn't have a show at all. So thank you, Leslie, for hanging out and sharing some of your memories with us. We really appreciate it.
Oh, I enjoy doing this.
It is. There's that lady telling me we're going to get thrown off the air. So we have a lot of fun. And Leslie will be back with us on Thursday night for the Spice Williams show, although Leslie and I already talked to her on Stunt Trek, so I'm going to let other people have an opportunity to talk to Spice, but we will be there. And Leslie and I will be back next Tuesday. We haven't picked a topic, but we always have fun, so make sure you tune in next Tuesday for Stunt Trek with Uncle Jim and the Leslie Hoffman. Remember, the number is 646-668-2433. The lady's telling me we have a minute to go, so I got to say good night and thank you to everybody. And we'll see you all next Tuesday for another Stunt Trek. Good night, everybody. Have a great night.
Night.
Good night.
Let's see what's out there. Engage.